So I want to introduce you today to Pastor Greg Donnelly. Some of you may well know him from Alexandria Covenant Church. And we thank you for being here today, and thank you for the partnership that we share together.
Amen.
God bless you.
I've been here a few times. It's always great to be here. One of the times I was here was about January 2nd, 2022. And afterwards, I went over to Graceville, and it was Gary and Ruth Hoffman. Did I say that right? Is that Hoffman? Okay. That's Katie and, there we go, and Rebecca's parents. It was a great time, and they're just very hospitable people. Now, I know they're not here right now, but they're coming for the meal, right? Okay. Here's your assignment. The speaker thought you guys really have a wonderful sense of hospitality. So tell them that, okay? Come on, come on. Please tell them that. It was a great time. I just really enjoyed that. But it's a great church. It really is. And known Tim and Cheryl for a while, and it's good. How many of you haven't been here before? First time or? Okay. You know, sometimes people come to church and you know, they say, okay, we're taking an offering for this and offering for that and little flock and those kind of things. You know, some people get disturbed about that, but really, it's a privilege to give. It's a real privilege. I remember hearing a story about a pastor. He wore a collar. He got on the plane, and the plane's airborne, and it wasn't long, and the steward or the airline, one of the attendants came screaming down the aisle there, saying, "Pastor, pastor," because she saw the neck or the thing around the neck. Anyway, "Pastor, pastor, pastor, we're going to crash. Do something religious." And he said, "Well, let's take an offering." Now, some people think churches kind of operate that way, but you don't hear, and it's not good anywhere. But I talked to Cheryl this week about the songs, and I said, "Well, whatever you choose is the right song. Or, you know, you do it right." That one about creation ties in very well to Psalm 8. So thanks so much for that. Now, what inspired me to speak on this subject today is the full moon. How many of you saw the full moon this week? Late at night, you know. In the summertime, it's nice to go out and walk, you know, and see it and stuff. But, you know, when it's cold out, you look from the window inside. But it's always an amazing thing to see the full moon. And it gets me excited. When I was in college, I took a course on astronomy. And it was always kind of stretched me a little bit. I became a Christian when I was 23, a little bit after when I was done with college. And I always liked this psalm. So I thought, why not talk about this because of the full moon this past week? So let me pray and we'll get started here. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless the little flock and the other things that are going on in the church. And may we all be generous with what we have. And Lord, we want to just pray that today will be a time as we open up the Word, we'll open up our hearts and be able to make applications for what we see from this psalm. So Lord God, as it's been read and I read it again, I just thank you for these words from David. So thanks for this time now. And we ask these things and thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 8. Director of music, Psalm of David. And so I'm just going to read this little by little here, kind of put in sections. And he starts off, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And then he ends that way too, in verse 9. But between that, let's put together a little message. He says, first of all, "You have set your glory above the heavens." How majestic is your name, and you have set your glory above the heavens. Now, in ancient Israel, the glory of God was something that could never be surpassed. So majestic was the glory that God said, if anyone would see my face, they would die. It's just that much in the glory of God. Now, man's glory is, you know, someone gets rich or someone gets award for this, you know, all those different things that we can talk about and think about. I wish I could get that. And, you know, so a person can have all these things and yet if it's taken away, he's still a person. I mean, it's just like, you know, we put this to this person and it kind of makes a person. But if you take the things away, still a man. But here it is, if the glory of God is taken away from the Lord, from God, he would no longer be God, because the glory is so overwhelming. And I'll explain that as we go here. So it says that you have set your glory above the heavens. Now, when we talk about the heavens, I'm going to talk about three different types of heavens. First heaven is this, where the birds fly and the clouds float along in the sky, that kind of stuff. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is the stars and the moon and the sun and all that kind of those kind of things that are out there. And just to take a few minutes for that, Psalm 19, David writes this. He says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth knowledge, and then it goes on. It says that they display knowledge, and it goes, day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they display knowledge. You ever go for a walk at night when it's just dark, and you go for a walk? When I lived in Wyoming for about a year and a half. There's a church plant in Mormon country. Tough job, it really was. But anyway, I would drive out in the country, and just by myself, just drive out in the country, far from the city lights. It was a small town anyway, but it still got away from all the lights, and just looked up at the stars. And it was just always amazed me, the stars, because I took that course in astronomy. Now, remember, it's not astrology. Astronomy is a true science, but astrology is a false science. God doesn't want us to read horoscopes and all that kind of stuff. Say, if you're wondering, where do you get that from? This is a freebie. Isaiah chapter 47, verses 13, 14, and 15. So if you want to write that down, if anyone says, how come you don't read the horoscope? The reasons are right there. All right. No charge, though. Okay. When we talk about the second heaven, the sun, the stars, and such. You know, think about this. Going back to my class from astrology. I was just seeing if you were paying attention, that's all. all planned, okay. All right, so threw me off now here. Where am I? But when you go to look at our galaxy, it's really an amazing thing. They say there's about 300, maybe 400 billion stars in our galaxy. And ours is just a middle-sized galaxy. And it's about 100,000 light years across. 100,000 light years across. And it's about 1,000 light years in depth. And a light year, now, quiz time, okay. What's the speed of light? 186,000 miles per second. Okay, now, a light year, one light year. Now remember, just multiply that now. Okay, per second. A light year is 6 trillion miles. Now, the average distance, and I looked at my old astronomy, I got it right this time, astronomy book. Looked at that book, and it said it's about 3.5 light years apart from each other. And on Google, it's 4.5 light years apart. So you look up at the stars, they look kind of close together, don't they? But imagine about all the light years of distance, 6 trillion miles for one light year. It just boggles the mind. There was a prominent scientist that said, his belief was this. He said that there are more galaxies in the universe than there is sand pebbles on the seashores of the earth. We just can't imagine that. We just cannot imagine that. But we're talking, that's just the second And so he puts his glory above that, above the heavens. It's just phenomenal. And here's one more thing. Psalm 147, it says that the Lord has a name for every star. Everyone. Okay. So, we're talking about how God has set his glory above the heavens. And to be there, here's a little section to read about. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul is talking. He says, I know of a man who 14 years ago went up to the third heaven. So we're talking about first, second, and he's talking about the third going up there. And he says, for that man, it was just inexpressible. You can't even talk about it because it's so overwhelming. And that's what we're talking about here. The Creator has created such a creation that it's so beyond any of us. But that must be where heaven is. You know, that third heaven up there. All right, so angels, departed saints, God's home. You know, imagine the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. I was fortunate enough to see one time when I was up in the Boundary Waters, the Northern Lights. You know, there's no lights around there, just nothing. And then all of a sudden, it's those kind of things. Glacier National Park, Yellowstone National Park, been to some of those places. And they're just, it's amazing moments you have as far as creation. All right, let's keep going. Secondly, God uses the smallest, most fragile instruments to declare his glory. All right, let's keep reading here. Verse 2, it says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Now, using infants and children through that ordaining praise. So what that is, David turns from the awesomeness of the heavens up there and the stars and all that kind of stuff. And then he comes down to earth and he's looking at things that are just fragile and infants and children. Even Christ used this. He said, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And after Jesus had cleaned out the money changers in the temple, Jesus healed the lame and blind in the temple. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw this, they said to him, why do you do this? Why are you doing this? And Jesus said, the children are shouting Hosanna. And it disturbed the elders and the leaders there. But that's when Jesus quoted this from Psalm 8. He said, from the lips of children, have you not read this? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Now, one of the things that we need to remember is, you know, you have Katie up here with the kids and your helper. And you know, we have to support our teachers and pray for them and ask that God would help them as they try to, you know, it's like herding caffeinated cats sometimes, you know, with all the activity. But it's interesting how God uses people who are young, very young. Our daughter, Natalie, this is years ago, but she was just a little girl. And you often wonder what they pick up. But my brother married a Jewish girl, a Reformed Jewish girl. And they only went to church once a year or something like that. You know, just, it wasn't real dedicated type of situation, and the Jewish system wasn't real to her and all that kind of stuff. So one time, I don't know where our daughter got this, but we're having a Christmas gathering, and it's quite a down, and then Natalie, her daughter, said, hey, Cassie, her cousin from the Jewish family in Arizona where they live, hey, Cassie, how come you don't believe in Jesus? My wife and I are going, oh, no, why did she ask that? You know, you know, kids will pop up things out of nowhere sometimes. But even though it's embarrassing sometimes, it's like, oh, because we talked about it before, but how did she get this? I don't know, but she did it. here's another one. Years ago in our church, we were looking for a youth pastor. And we put them through the grill, you know, the grinder, and all the quizzing and stuff like that. And his wife came in the last one, and it was interesting to meet her. And I said to Laura, I said, Laura, who is someone who's had a great influence in your life? And she said, my youngest brother. I thought, and then she went on to explain, he was born very handicapped. He couldn't speak, and he couldn't walk when he didn't get a little older. And all those, he had handicaps everywhere, and he could not really communicate or anything. But she said, he was the greatest influence on my life. And she went into nursing because of that influence. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, she's got my vote. You know, she just seemed like such a heartwarming person. But she said it was her brother that influenced her the most. And we did hire her husband. Story told about an 8-year-old girl. Her mother, when she was giving birth to this 8-year-old girl, she died. She died basically at the hospital. And the husband was just torn up inside, as you can imagine. So he's raising this little girl, and he had pictures of his wife around the house and stuff, and he just, he always said such good things about his wife, her mother. And so one time she was invited to a Sunday school class. They lived kind of close to a church, and somebody asked her to come to the Sunday school. So she came, and in time she became a Christian. She received Christ. And so she said to her dad, Dad, do you love Jesus? And never been asked that question before, but he said, well, you know, how can you love someone you've never seen? And then she said this, a little girl now, she said, well, you've always taught me to love Mommy. And I do love Mommy, but I've never seen her alive. And it struck him. And then it wasn't long and he became a Christian and he started going to church with his daughter. Now, God uses things we don't expect. Lips of children and infants. Let's keep going. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. What about the heavens and then you go to the earth and what is it? What is it? Well, here it is. The greatness of God shows us the value of mankind. Jesus never died for a star. He never died for the moon. He never died for his creation except for us. The greatness of God shows the value of mankind. Now, when we think about that, both men and angels were modeled after the same divine image. But since the fall, we have been inferior to the angels. The angels do not do right or wrong. The angels can be demons, and that's wrong, of course. But the angels, it isn't like they're set. But human beings are still maturing and growing and doing things like that and coming to Christ, those things. But Jesus is the redeemer of fallen man. The fallen angels have no redemption coming to them. And when it says there, what is man? That you are mindful of him, that you care for him. As I mentioned before, I was in a Mormon country back when I was in Southwest Wyoming. There's a saying among the Mormons. It goes like this. It says, what man is, God once was. What God is, man shall become. You ever heard that before? It's the wrong audience to be talking to, I guess, about this one. But But they say what man is, God once was. In other words, like God was once like us. And then it says, as God is, we shall become. Now, that's not true. It just simply is not true. It is not true. We'll never be a God. But God has us as such importance. And just a point of this. You know, when you think about other people, it's easy to become jealous sometimes, isn't it? They got this, and they got this, and this, and this, and I don't have this, or this, or this. And you compare yourselves to others. And we become jealous at times. We can. But it's so wrong. Proverbs 27, verse 4 says that anger is cruel and wrath is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Think about the people in the Bible. Abel, Cain was jealous basically of what his brother brought for the sacrifice. He killed him. King Saul was after David because he was envious of how God was using him. But he didn't change. Even those who crucified Christ, Pilate knew that these men were envious of Christ. He drew such crowds and he had such an impact on people. Don't be jealous of someone else. You know, it says in John chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus is talking about John the Baptist. And he says, John the Baptist is the greatest person who ever lived. Now, I don't know if that's ever or just up to that point in time. But anyway, John the Baptist was amazing. And he said, but the most insignificant person in this world is greater than John the Baptist in heaven. So why do we fight and fuss about other people, what they have, what we don't have, and that kind of stuff? We need to be ourselves. And he set us aside. He is mindful of us. He cares for us. Let's go on to one more thing here. And that is verse 6. You have made him ruler, made man, ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the flocks, the herds, the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. He made us ruler over the works of his hands. Now, man is God's crowning creation. And we do have superiority over nature. Now, as God's representative over nature, we are not to exploit, waste, or spoil, but to take care of his creation. You know, we all know the story about the feeding the 5,000. So Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread. But it's interesting, in John chapter 6, Jesus said, okay, everyone's well fed now. Okay, now pick up the leftovers. Don't let anything be wasted. Now, have your parents ever said to you, especially when you're younger, you got to finish your peas, you got to finish that food, okay. Well, just learn at a young age, don't be wasteful. Don't be wasteful. And when it says about ruler over the works of his hands, here's another thing. You've heard of the PETA organization? I hope no one's part of it. Because I'm going to just use this illustration. But PETA means the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I know there's other things it stands for, but for the ethical treatment of animals. Okay. Anyway, I did a funeral one time, and after the funeral, I went downstairs for the kind of reception afterwards. And I sat at this table, and there's a guy there who was one of the executives from Kemp's Ice Cream. So remember the advertisements they used for Kemp's Ice Cream? They had like different cows, purple cow, pink cow, and brown cow, and all that stuff. Well, anyway, as an executive of the company, he got a phone call one time from somebody from PETA. And the guy from PETA said, you need to treat those cows better. You shouldn't treat them that way, a brown cow, purple cow, all that kind of stuff. And you ever heard of that before? I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. Sometimes people go, you know, like save the whales. Sometimes save the whales people do not want to save the babies. And God's creation, God's glory. All right, so if you're thinking about getting into PETA, let that one go. You don't need to get into PETA. All right, so we put this together here. All right, so we did this. Take the time to look at nature. Number one, just the creation. Even creation itself, from Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it starts off and it says, since the beginning of creation, God's invisible qualities, his divine power his divine something and something else. But anyway, that people can see this from what has been made so that man is without excuse. I really butchered that, but it's Romans 1, verse 20. But it says that people can look at creation and know there is a God. That's what they call a general revelation. The specific revelation is the coming of Christ. The special revelation is Christ. But look at nature and talk to God about it. If you don't know him, talk to him. Secondly, just a reminder for teaching children. Starting at a young age, support your children's teachers. Volunteer if they're short of teachers. Help out, but have an impact on the children. Pray for your pastors as they speak. Pray for Tim when he gives the message. Don't just sit there, but really, really pray as he's speaking. You know, I tell my congregation, I said, it's good to have divine preaching. Everybody wants anointed preaching, but you know, we have to have anointed listening too, don't we? I was hoping to get a better bang out of that one, Tim, but okay. Anyway, anointed listening, okay? All right, let's do that, okay. The greatness of God shows the value of mankind. God is so amazing, so awesome, but it shows that we are the apple of his eye. And so thing about jealousy. Don't look at others and say, I wish I was like them, or I wish they had their gifts, or whatever it is, something like that. Don't do that. But just say, God, use me where I'm at. This is the gift you've given to me. Thank you. And let us all use our gifts as God wants us to. So what are you going to say when Gary and Ruth are here to them?
Great hospitality.
Great hospitality. Another one? Any more ideas? Gratefulness. Okay. Just load them up with those, all that stuff, okay? So when they leave here, they're going, that was really a great church. And they won't know what hit them. Don't tell it's me, okay? But don't do anything except be who you are. Be who you are. Use what God has given you and rejoice what you have. And let's just go to the last thing here. You made us ruler over the works of your hands. And then it goes through about all the works that God has done. Then, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is just kind of the end spots there. How majestic is the name in all the earth. Let's just pray as we close on this. Lord God, thank you for this time we can have together to open up your word, and as we talked about the different things, how you do this and you do this and the effect of this. And Lord God, I just want to pray that each and every one of us know you. And if anyone here does not yet know you, I pray, God, that they would receive you, that they would ABC, admit they are a sinner, that they need a Savior, and then to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, the Messiah, and to receive him as their personal Savior, and then see to confess. And Lord, I just pray that each one who admits they're a sinner, believes on you and receives you, will confess you in time. And Lord, I just pray for any person here who yet doesn't know you, that they would receive you and be born of your Spirit. And Lord God, it's good to be together with God's people. I just pray that you bless each one. thank you for this time we can have together, and thank you for your word. Teach us about yourself, and may it reflect in our lives and in how we live. So thank you now, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to do one quiz at the end here. So I said in my prayer, A, B, C. What did the A stand for? Admit you're a sinner, okay, and you're a savior. Okay, B was for believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he wants for our lives. And we believe on him, and as we believe on him, we receive him. And the C stands for confess. Okay, and if you're a new Christian and you want to need to confess Christ, I remember I was in New Orleans. I was 23 years old. I became a Christian down there in New Orleans. And it was a week after I received Christ, I went back to this coffee house. And they said, well, let's plan on going down to Tulane University and talk to the college students about Jesus. And I'm a week old, 7 days as a Christian. I'm going, I'm not going. You know, I'll work in God's secret service. I'm not going to do, it's not for me. So don't be afraid, but just do what he wants you to do. God bless you all.